This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the band Joseph.
Give me your body. Give me your mind. I want to cross your borders. I want to take my time. I know the feeling when you're standing beside. And when I face you, my door's open wide.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome the band Joseph to the show, and wanted to introduce. Actually, I'm going to let you all introduce yourselves. That might be a little more pleasing to the listeners' ears.
I'm Megan.
I'm Natalie,
and I'm the third one, Allie.
And I should tell listeners that we are doing this interview just after soundcheck at the Top Hat in Missoula, and we are recording this in now, my gosh, it's almost mid-March, and I think where I want to start off is with the name of the group, because I know this is really kind of a crucial thing in terms of how, well, there's a lot of stories behind it, and beyond just where the name comes from, what it meant to come up with that name.
Yeah, I think that, so the name comes from a town in eastern Oregon called Joseph, Oregon, and our Grandpa Joe grew up right outside of there. And so we basically grew up going there a bunch over the summers, and one summer, I think it was like four or five years ago now at this point, we were coming back, and I was naming a playlist of music and named it Joseph, Oregon, and the second that I did that, I felt like there's all this, like, weight and meaning, and it didn't feel like a boy's name anymore. There was just like something else to it, and we went to our producer that next week recording our first album, and he was like, it seems like you guys maybe need a different band name, something with like a little bit more like grit, that because your music is kind of offering that. And I said very cautiously, what if we called ourselves Joseph? And I think underneath that name, it was just like the music completely shifted.
One of the things I should probably point out to listeners who are not aware of this,
oh, yeah,
is that the three of you are sisters.
Yes, they are.
So we're gonna delve into that a little bit more. But one of the things that strikes me, and you know, before we did the, started the interview, you said, you know, well, we're new. I said I was kind of late to the party, so to speak, in terms of finding your music. But is it just me? It seems like this journey has gone really fast once it got started. Let's just talk about how quickly it seems like the project has really gotten going.
I think it's both and. It's both. It feels like we've been doing it for 4 years. So, and we really, it's not the kind of thing where someone discovered us and then all of a sudden we were playing on TV. We have played pizza places for pizza and beer, and we have played 3-hour sets at hotels, and it really has felt very incremental from the inside. And you know the saying, of course, like, you know, 5 years for an overnight success. And so it definitely, we definitely feel like the weathered sense, but at the same time, it of course feels very pinch yourself when you're all of a sudden in 30 Rockefeller Center, you know, and you see, you know, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey walking down the hall, and you know that you're about to play to an international audience of, you know, just an unseemly amount of people, just crazy. So it's both. You pinch yourself and you also you feel what it took to get there.
To add to that, I would say that it's always felt like a steady incline, and it still doesn't feel like, oh, we've made it. It still feels right. Like there's so much work to do, and there is.
And just to point out for listeners what I'm talking about, what we're talking about is appearances on The Tonight Show, Ellen, Conan O'Brien, CBS This Morning, and, of course, NPR Tiny Desk Concerts. Got to put in the plug for NPR Tiny Desk Concerts. Just maybe talk about what it was like diving into in those kind of situations, which would seem to bring a whole other level of preparation that would need to be involved.
Yeah, I think each one we've kind of taken a little bit differently. The first TV, which was Jimmy Fallon, we our label and everyone wanted to make sure that it was, like, you know, really good and perfect, and so we actually had our the guy that produced our record, Mike Mogus, put together a band, and they basically made it sound exactly like the record. It's been so crazy. I think you're sitting in the green room waiting, and you have to just keep thinking, like, you know, focusing less on the thousands upon thousands of people that'll be watching, and just think, right now I'm walking into this small room and there are maybe 200 people, you know, like sitting in there about to watch, which I've done that before. I've done that so many times. And so you kind of have to, like, prep your brain in that way of just being like, this is easy. And then as soon as it's done, you can be like, what the heck did we just do? Like, but yeah, it's cool.
I would even add the Fallon performance felt really important for us, obviously being our first TV and everything. But I remember, like, thinking, okay, we get to go on national, international television and tell people to not be afraid. Like, that was this moment of, like, the bigness of that helped me mean it even more.
Yeah, yelling's getting loud. Keep it down now. Keep it down now. This talk going round this town. Keep it down now. Keep it down now. Noise is closing in from all sides, warning all the ways to die. They say you better give up, you better give up.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with the group Joseph. Now, contrary to what a lot of folks might think with sisters singing, this wasn't something that started off from the start. Am I right? That it was not a matter of gathering around the campfire right. And around the, you know, the cradle, so right. to speak, and that it came from that kind of place. Talk about just how that developed, the idea of how it developed that you all are singing together.
Yeah. Let's see. Allison and I, Megan, were just working normal jobs. I was working at a grocery store and LA Fitness, and Allie was working at a coffee shop. And Natalie was touring on her own already. She's always kind of wanted to pursue music. And so she was touring, and on her second go around, she had a friend say to her, "It doesn't seem like you believe in what you're doing, and why would you give anything away that you didn't believe in? You should want to like run it into people's hands." And so she, on her way home, she texted Allie and I and was like, "Do you want to be in a band with me?" Which is hilarious. And we didn't have any idea what we were actually saying yes to, clearly. But so we started, Allie and I sheepishly, so nervously singing background vocals for Natalie's songs that she wrote. And then it just kind of morphed into us writing songs together. And then we started getting opportunities that Natalie had tried by herself forever to get, and we just started getting them like so easy and quick. And yeah, and then it's just become what it is, which is crazy, as we kept saying yes to it.
Yeah, I guess it proves to love and believe in what you do. I mean, proves to be good to do that. And because it also gets really hard, so the times that it gets hard, you want to make sure that you actually like what you're doing. But yeah, we didn't actually sing much together when we were small. Megan and I were really shy, and Natalie was like much louder and like excited all the time than we were. And so we'd do some harmonies and stuff listening to the radio, but like Megan and Natalie would always fight over which harmony they were singing and be like, "You're singing my harmony." But yeah, there wasn't a ton of like singing besides that.
Let's talk a little bit about the process and what, if there is a typical process for, at this point, a Joseph song to come together. No, there's no shaking their heads, and so yes, there's no process. Let's say you were going to try to write a song right now. How would that song start? Would it start from an instrumental kind of perspective?
Not really. Or would it start from whoever has an idea? So typically with me, the idea includes a little bit of a guitar part and a melody and a lyric already. And it's like either just a verse or just a hook or something. And then Negan and Allie help me hone it. Like, for instance, the other day I brought them a song and I played it and I almost instinctually knew which lyrics were wrong based on their reaction, you know, of just like, okay, that doesn't work. And then Meg was like, okay, that melody actually sounds a lot like this Lana Del Rey song, so you should like change this to a third above or whatever. So when I'm starting with the idea, that's how that goes. Mm-hmm. But like me has written with just a couple of plucking strings on the guitar. Mm-hmm. And Allie has had like both a lyric idea as well as she gets a lot of pictures as well. Just kind of like, this is the sense that I'm feeling, or this is the color that I'm feeling. Or I imagine a bird like flying over at this time. And then how do we express that? So it, everyone contributes in different ways.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about the progression of the music itself and the arrangements. The band has gone through, well, a progression. It's gone through a journey with going from a more sparse arrangement with acoustic guitar and, was it Stompbox or something?
Yeah.
And then going to more elaborate arrangements and a fuller sound. Let's talk a little bit about how that evolved and how that happened. And you know how you all sort of navigated that change. Was that a big deal for the group?
Yes, it was.
I think it happened a lot through the writing process, like you're saying. It's like we didn't set out to have a bigger, poppier, fuller album. It really, in the process of writing, we stumbled upon these songs, because it really does feel that way a lot of times. You're just like, wow, here's a song. I don't know how I'll get another one, but here's one right now. You know. And so when we got those songs, it was like, wow, okay, this song needs to dress like this. You know, that's kind of what it was like. It was just like, oh yeah, this song wants to wear these clothes, and naturally that means this. And then all of a sudden we had this bigger, fuller, more ambitious, with a broader, larger dynamic piece of work.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with the group Joseph. Kind of a stock question that I've been going to a lot recently, which is kind of fun. You guys are originally from Portland.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is there anything that you would identify as distinctly Portlandish?
Yes.
About the group's music?
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of, I think Portland is such a dreaming city, you know? There's such a big thinking group of people. It's also, in the same breath, like, so grounded. I think you can find both there, because you get people coming from other places to make their dreams happen, but it's also such a tangible, tactile, physical place, you know, because of just the land is so gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, you guys know, in Montana, obviously. And, you know, you get close to the earth and go on hikes, and you know where your beef came from. You know, like, there are things like that that are very tactile and physical, as well as like very lofty and dreamy. And I hope that the music encompasses both those things.
So I guess my final question is, are y'all having fun? Is this fun for you?
Yes.
Talk about that a little
Such
bit.
A good
Talk
question.
About that a little bit.
Yes. I would say we're having a blast. I do think so. Last year was crazy. And I think it's like weird because when you start music, or I should say like probably for any art that people are trying to make money off of, I think you don't really necessarily realize that when you start singing songs that you are creating a business. And within a business, like, you know, you add pieces like people and stuff to help run that business. And we had to kind of figure out where our boundaries were, because this job is kind of boundaryless in a lot of ways. What? Boundless. I was like, boundaryless sounds weird. Laundryless. Anyways. And so last year was like the highest of highs and some pretty low lows, I would say. I think we just kind of got burned out at the end of last year. Even like watching some videos, I'm like, oh my gosh, we look like zombies. But we basically ended up cutting a couple shows right at the end of the year and took January off. And we are brand new people. It is shocking. And we just kind of had some talks with our management, and they're phenomenal human beings. And just like, they just constantly kept saying, you know, like, what, you know, we just want you guys to be healthy, and whatever we can do to make this job like something that can sustain itself, like, let's make that happen. So I think that we've been learning on a steep learning curve of like knowing how to take care of yourself on the road, because it is not easy, and how to like stay in relationship with people and all of the things, and not get burnt out while also still like saying yes to a lot of the opportunities that you're being given. Because it's a sweet spot to be in where people are actually like asking you for things. Because I think a lot of artists are, you know, say it's like if there's a point where that stops asking, you know. And so this year we've been having a blast. And even last year we had a blast. There was just kind of a burnout at the end. But we've been having such a good time. It feels like such an honor to get to do this job.
At the beginning of this year, I was having a conversation with our dad about it. And he told me about this conversation he had had with a guy who had been in the higher ups of an Air Force. I do not know the term, but it would a group of people flying planes in the Air Force, and they were actually in warfare. This was someone who'd been in warfare, and he was asked the question that was pretty dark. Did you have a sense when you sent men out to battle of who would be coming back or not? And he said, I knew. Yeah, I knew. And he said, how did you know? And he said, the people who went into that airplane and strapped themselves into the airplane, I knew I might not see them. But the people who went in and strapped the airplane to themselves, I knew they'd be coming back. So that's been the perspective shift this year, is we're strapping the airplane to ourselves and taking control.
Return to your dreaming, I'll return to my sleepless night. Dreaming with my eyes open, watch the shadows. Thank you.
TheBandJoseph.com. That's literally the name of the website. TheBandJoseph.com. That's the name of the website where you can find out more about what the group is up to. I'm Alone, No You're Not, which, by the way, is one of my favorite new album titles. I love that. It's great. That is the name of the most recent recording. Ali, Megan, and Natalie, thank you so much for being a guest on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you all, and I hope that we get a chance to visit down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been the band Joseph. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, or through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook and Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to Logjam Presents for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.